Good morning, everyone. Both in person here, also I know still a lot of worship at home. Good to be here this morning to share God's word. I'm very thankful to be here. Last year, in October, I was among you to share God's work, my mission works. This morning, this month, October, is our church's mission month. Thank you. Every year in October, our church has a mission month. And I trust last 2 days, you already heard Pastor Lai preaching. Pastor Lai of CNEC shared his ministry in Southeast Asia, I believe. I didn't join because I have a worship with Myanmar. Anyhow, and throughout this month, you will hear missionary sharing from different organizations. They will share their mission experience and mission needs year after year. I just want to know that, do we really know what exact mission is? What is mission? Of course, we immediately say, oh, the Great Commission. I know that. But we truly know what mission is? And what does mission have to do with you and me? When we hear a lot of missionary stories, what was happening in the mission field, what that have to do with me? Yeah. So this morning, I will not share with you a whole bunch of missionary stories. The topic I will be sharing is a missional lifestyle. Missional lifestyle. What is a missional lifestyle? We talk about a lot of mission. The speakers from different organizations or missionary, they always say, challenge, you have to go, you have to go. If we don't accept no, if we don't live out a missional lifestyle, we cannot. It's very difficult. It's too far for us. You agree? It's too far. So this morning, I would like to share what is missional lifestyle. Why is it so important to us? Yeah. Actually, missional lifestyle is a Christian way of our thinking, our behaving, our practicing a mission. In order to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. How can we glorify God through our life, through our daily life? I'm using Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. This passage talk about but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Verse 12 talk about live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I won't go into detail, but we can see from this passage what Peter says. We are not called to be busy with all programs, activities in our church. What Peter really talked about so to live an evangelistic lifestyle which reflects and displays the character of God. That's the most important thing. How can we live out, we display, our life reflect? Can people see God from your life? Can I see the glory of God from your life? I think we have to think about it. We not just come to church and we listen to a good sermon, we hear a good song leading, we like the song, and then we leave the church, we go home. Is this our Christian life? Is this the life God wants us to be? No. God called us to be his servant. In our daily life, how can we live out, let people see, oh, I like this person because he or she is different from others. And I learned that, oh, he or she is a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ. People will give a glory to God. A few short years back, select people were put in position to learn digital media. Fast forward to year 2020, last year. Everybody had been forced to learn it, which including Auntie Betty. I learned a lot how to use Zoom, how to use Microsoft Teams to communicate with people, to evangelize the people far away in China, Myanmar. Yeah, I have to learn it. We all started doing Sunday school, Sunday worship, Sunday school fellowship meeting, even our elder deacon board meeting. We use Zoom. Through the COVID-19 pandemic, even people who were traveling, they can still join with their cell phone. This in March, I took a course. The course is End of Life. How can you help those people in end of life, last stage of their life? Oh, in the class, not, I wasn't a teacher. I learned the course. I remember some of this, my classmates said, oh, I'm still on the road. Yeah, even if you're traveling, you can still join. Yeah. So, we see, Zoom is a great tool for person or work, for personal or work-related meetings. But Zoom is not the best tool for true community building. It's not. Because, for example, this morning, I came earlier. I saw some brothers, sisters also came early. I can greet them. I can touch them. Hey, how are you? By Zoom, how can you can just do this? So Zoom is a good tool, but cannot have a community building. So we talk about community fellowship and the community life demands physical presence. Full communication of the context and message of gospel via digital media is nearly impossible, as I just mentioned earlier. Yeah. So digital media strategy represents just the front door, perhaps one of the many doors that can be used to bring people into God's kingdom. Yeah. Think about Genesis chapter 1, also John chapter 1. We talk about here. Talk about in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And John chapter 1, verse 14, talk about the Word became flesh and made this dwelling among and made his dwelling among us. So, and here we talk about it obvious that in Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1, God simply spoke everything into being. So, why then the Word, Jesus, Son of God, has to come to this world, become flesh, come to this world? Why? Because there's more than just a creation. There's a community. A church is a community. Yeah. The Word must become flesh in order to be part of a genuine community and relationships. Yeah. Virtual connections are poor substitution for real relationships. Back to the COVID-19, back to the issue of COVID-19. If you are vaccinated, I trust you all vaccinated, right? Anyone say no? I believe so. If you are vaccinated, you have antibody in you. Yeah, because the white blood cells in your body have been fighting the vaccine, just like it will fight the flu virus in any other years during the winter time, flu seasons, before COVID. I think we should fight back. We are not just so afraid, stay at home, go nowhere. We should fight back or re-engage a lot more vigorously in people-to-people contacts. Yeah. How can we do it? Look for spaces big enough. look for spaces that are large enough for everyone to feel comfortable. Continue to use your mask when gathering indoor. We encourage you to go outdoor, outdoor facility where possible, and use outdoor facility to meet your friend when the weather still permits. I want to share, you probably know, the one where red. Simon, Brother Simon from our church. Yeah. Brother Simon of our church shared with us recently how he was invited by his friend to play ping pong in Burlingame. In Burlingame, there's a ping pong club. I was there one day. I also visited there. He was there and played ping pong. He noticed that their parents who brought their kids, their children, also played there. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit moved him to reach out to those parents. He started to go there every other week with others from our church, other brother and sister from our church. While kids played ball, they would sit down to chat with non-Christian parents. You know, that ping pong club, that's their mission field. That's their mission field. He goes there every other week to reach out to talk to those parents, non-Christian parents. Yeah. Initially, they may not have the opportunity to share the gospel. Yeah. But they start to build trust and relationships. I believe that one day they will have the opportunity to tell those parents the good news of Jesus Christ. You have to get started to reach people. Yeah. Christians, we can have hobbies. Anything. We don't have to be stuck in a Christian bubble. Oh, something wrong? Okay. It's okay for Christians to have hobbies like sports or art class or have a book discussion club or literature. Yeah. You to attend with your with our friends, non-Christian friends. Normally, we Christians always find our friends as Christian. Yeah. I don't know how many of you have a lot of non-Christian friends. Of course, the younger brother and sister, you might have a lot of classmates are non-Christian. But normally, we are used to it. We always sit together with Christians. We go to do something with Christians. Yeah. We have to open our circle of friends so that there's an opportunity for gospel sharing. I noticed that a lot of people have become too comfortable and laid back with virtual worship service at home. As long as I don't open my video, I can wear a pajama, I can, you know, go away to drink a coffee. So have virtual worship. Sometimes people become laid back. Yeah. Digital options give people a false sense of connectedness when they really are not connected. We thought We did. We signed in. We participate. But they are not in community. They are not developing any kind of meaningful relationship. But they think they are. Yeah, I'm sorry, but you are not. Yeah. You are just a spectator. No. You are just a spectator. Here, I have a photo. It's a year 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing. You just sit in the stadium, digital stadium. Stadium, watching the games versus being in the games as athletics. Our church has started in-person worship service in June this year, especially at the English congregation. I know that some of our members are still worshiping at home. I attended the English congregation before COVID sometimes. No, but compare, it's good, but still we can have more, still have people worshiping at home. Even so, you're worshiping at home, you have no excuse not to share the gospel with others. You may ask how to do it. Thank you. Here I have got a photo image from the online talking about sharing gospel. I have a world map there. You may send a YouTube link, Zoom link. Share the gospel via telephone or email communication. Every Thursday evening, I have an evangelical Bible study. Every Thursday evening, this is Chinese. Through Zoom, we can reach people in China. We're so excited. More people from China join this Bible study than local. Now, of course, we have some co-workers in this Bible study. We can reach people in China. Thank God that three people accept Christ this year, through Bible study. And we can, through the same time, through this evangelical Bible study, people from Myanmar. Can you imagine? We cannot go to Myanmar right now. We cannot go to China. I came back last year, last February. I cannot go over there. But through social media, we reach people in China. We reach people in Myanmar. Yeah. They be able to listen the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the people accept Christ in China. Wow, he got so excited. He shared during the Bible study. He shared. He said, "You know that there was a 93 years old lady, old sister, took me to the church to listen God's word." He got so excited. Just right after he accepted Christ, one week I just sent an invitation, asked whether you want to make decision to accept Christ. He said yes. And then our whole Bible study group, we pray together, ask him to pray, and then we pray together with him. I see his life growing. He said, "I'm not watching Before, I always spend time watching TV, but now I just read Bible. You know, amazing. So even though we worship at home, we still have an opportunity to share gospel to people far away. If you can see, I have a lot of red lines channel to Southeast Asia, Africa, Europe, Australia. Yeah. Doesn't matter where we can use this emails, Zoom, to share gospel to your family, non-Christian families, and all your friends. So what would be the more effective and sustainable strategy we could use to re-engage in the missional lifestyle? For the longest time, we have always thought of evangelism and discipleship as something that only happened on Sunday, or that only pastor and missionary do those work. Do you think that's so? A lot of people thought, evangelism, not me. I don't know how to say it. Yeah. They thought it's only pastor or missionary to do those work. Or maybe we as laymen do once a year. What? We do overseas short-term missions trip. And that's what we typically think about missions. No question. There's still a legitimate place for world missions. We still want to do the work of reaching the least reached people groups. But how could we utilize our time, our talent, and treasure to fulfill missional lifestyle when God had already given us a platform? When I say time, talent, and treasure, I mean, where do you spend most of your time? Where do you spend most of your time? Have you ever thought why God gave you all the knowledge and the training you have? What about the wealth that you have accumulated? Are this not all for the reaching of the lost people that you encounter in your life? We are often busy in various church activities, and yet too often they are what have prevented us from sharing the gospel with strangers outside our church circle. We are so busy with a lot of programs, activities. We have to think about, ask ourselves. Now it's October. From January to October, have I ever talked to a stranger about what I believe? Have I ever shared gospel to one of my friends, non-Christian friends, or even my parents? This is very sad. We thought we are serving God. We're busy, busy, busy at church. But as Peter said, God didn't call us to be busy at a lot of programs and church activities. God called us to live out our Christian life so people will see your good deeds and give the glory to God. That's the main purpose. We're Christian. God save us. Why? to demonstrate, use the life to demonstrate His love, His glory, His only Savior. That's the only way to have salvation. Yeah. The majority of folks in our church go into the world regularly and have friends who are non-Christians. They have co-workers. You have co-workers or a boss who are non-Christian. So you are already in a mission field. I'm not saying that office hour, you put down your work, you share gospel to people. I'm not saying that. No, during a break time, coffee time, your lunch time. Yeah, that's our mission field. Don't think all missionary are like Betty. You are a missionary. You are a missionary at where God has placed you. Even I mentioned earlier, the ping pong club. Simon go there every other week. That's his mission field. So prior to COVID-19, the strategy might have been, let's have a large evangelist meeting when we, once a year, HOC, we also have an evangelist meeting. Let's have an evangelist meeting and get as many people to come as possible. But we are not going to invite 500 or 800 people into a room to hear Stephen Tan or David Chow to preach like in the old days. Not anymore. Not going to happen anytime soon. So what do we do? What do we do? Simply, you will see that you have an opportunity to live out the Great Commission where God already commissioned you. As Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." These words were spoken by Christ to his follower while he was in Jerusalem, just before his ascension into heaven. So, stop asking. God, where do you want me to go? Jesus Christ said, "You are my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, till the uttermost part of the earth." It's very clear to us. God already said it. So we don't have to ask God, "Where do you want me to go?" God has already sent you. Where you are right now is where God already sent you. So now you ask, what do I live out this missionary calling at home? Over any weekend, you can visit one of your non-Christian friends. We go to them. As Jesus came to us, came to this world, we go to them to reach them. Either you go to them or you invite them to your house. Yeah. Not necessarily to be a big crowd. I believe one the year, 2019 or 2018, Christmas, I opened my house, invite some Christian and non-Christian, their non-Christian friends. I cook some meals, invite them. And after meals, after lunch, we talk about. They were non-Christian friends, they will ask questions, and we answer. Now, not necessarily we have to lead them to Christ at the same day, building friendship. To answer the questions they've been hiding in their inside. Yeah. So you can invite a non-Christian friend, you can visit them, go to them or invite them come to your house. This is a way to build trust and rapport with your non-Christian friends. Maybe one day you will have a chance to talk to them about Jesus. You just trust the Holy Spirit to open that door. Don't try to push open doors. I fully trust that the Holy Spirit will give you those divine opportunities when He's ready to give that. But what can you do to set the stage for that conversation to happen? Here are some examples. Ask the Lord grant you courage to take the initiative to reach out and greet people. We talk about mission, but we don't even have a guts to say hi to a stranger. How many of you are used to greet people, to stranger? I want to see your hands. Praise God. Praise God. We need to. If we want to share gospel to people, if we don't even afraid to say hi to people. How are you? Good morning. If in a campus. Oh, hi, how are you? My name is Betty. What's your name? Are you going to the library? May I walk with you? That's a conversation. Yeah. I remember that day I was in a ping pong club there. I see a young lady. Oh, is she your daughter? How old is she? From this, we start a conversation. I bring the whole gospel to her. Yeah. Her name's Li Hui Ying. Yeah, I still communicate with her through email. So we don't be too shy. Learn how to, before we talk about foreign mission, here we start to learn how to communicate, how to greet strangers. Even in China, one time was have a short-term mission there at one of the agricultural university. When I see some people walk to me, I say, good morning. They feel so strange. They don't know me, but I try to get used to it, say hi. Yeah. And a couple times people just say, huh, where are you from? Because people in China, they're not used to the greet a stranger. But here, if we want to share gospel, to share the life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We first have to learn how to greet people. Don't be afraid to say hi. Sometimes I go to Costco. I was at the tire shop. I saw a young lady there. Yeah. Oh, I said, what's happening? Yeah. Yeah. I got a nail on my tie. I said, yeah, me too. Yeah. And then we start chatting, you know, anywhere for the gospel's sake. No. Have courage to talk to a stranger. Yeah. And then ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into the conversation. I don't think I have too much time, huh? There was a young lady, my neighbor. I just happened to have a chance to knock her door and then make a long story short. And if I learned that she was ready to move to China, move back to China. And she tried to pack, and she said, I want to do a garage sale. Can you tell me how to? So I just go into her house and share how to do a garage sale. And then she mentioned her father just passed away. She cried. So I just sit down, and I hold her hand. I said, may I pray for you? She's crying. After prayer, she said, you hold my hand. She felt like her father's holding her hand. And start from there, her father talk about our Father in heaven. And she accept Christ that day. So it's not Betty. Auntie Betty know how to. No. The Holy Spirit guide me. Where to get into the conversation. Gradually lead people to share the gospel. Okay. So the third one is be prepared to give an answer. This is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you hold. Yeah. Be prepared. Anytime when people ask you, you will. I sometimes, sisters said, Betty, Missionary Betty, you go to talk to my friend. I said, can you yourself tell your friends how you become Christian? Oh, I cannot. I don't know what to say. So be prepared. How I become a Christian? Why I have to believe Jesus Christ? How God saved me? I was like, what kind of people? God changed my life. We can anytime be prepared, tell people what you believe. Okay. People don't ask about your faith the first couple times. People won't ask you why you believe in Jesus Christ. It always takes time to gain trust. When they see that you have something meaningful and valuable to offer, people put their trust in you as a person, not just want to know your job, what are you doing on your job. You have to demonstrate that you have a wisdom, insight, and substance by how you live. That's how you develop attractive personality. Living a missional lifestyle is probably one of the most important, effective, and attractive things a Christian can do. The reason? Yeah, it's because people are afraid to gather in large group setting now. Who knows? When we can have a gather as a large group congregation and fill out a sanctuary again. We don't know when. This COVID, I don't know where, less for how long. So we are living in a time when everybody is deconstructing his or her faith and shy away from large gatherings. So what's the new strategy? Yeah. What's the new strategy? Christians must live out their missional lifestyle. I mentioned earlier, our thinking, our behaving, our practicing, our daily life, where God has already placed you. And be the shining light in your own communities. If someone reads the gospel tract, you hand people a gospel tract. And they will say, oh, wow, this is wonderful, this is amazing. I really want this. So I'm going to this church, your church, and be around these Christian people and have this kind of a grace-filled, God-centered life. The tract talk about. But when he comes to your church, he finds a group of people unlike what the tract described. He will say, I love you, Jesus, but I don't like you Christians. So what is so confusing to many non-Christians is they have a hard time finding Christians who live like Jesus that they read in the Bible. The biggest challenge of evangelism is not to get a believer to learn how to communicate John 3:16 and four spiritual laws, or how to set up rich illustration effectively, but actually learn how to live out what they see more genuinely. Yeah. Some of you might holding a management position in some big corporations like Amazon, Google, Facebook, or Oracle. So God has equipped you and give you resources to establish certain credibility in a professional way. Yeah. You are the gospel lighthouse right there. No matter what, the location, your workplace, your home, your school, or your mission field, you are the lighthouse, gospel lighthouse right there. Now, live and work in such a way that your life and your work could be a testimony to the glorify of God. It's Matthew, or we all familiar this passage. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. What COVID-19 has done, I often say I have different thinking. I praise God for COVID-19. Yeah. It changed a lot of things. So COVID-19 has done the taking away the strategy that we thought was most effective in bringing people into the kingdom of God. Large evangelist crusades, yes, they were probably quite effective in communicating the content of gospel. And no doubt some people were truly converted, but it's very impossible that the majority of people who went to those conferences heard those messages in the same way that a lot of people heard Jesus teaching. They simply heard it and then walked away. But they didn't become followers of Christ. If we read the gospel carefully, we don't see this explosive growth of the church in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. During those 3 years when Jesus was doing his ministry on earth, there was no missionary movement either. Not until after the Holy Spirit came, per Acts 1:8. A lot of people heard Jesus teaching, but didn't choose to follow him, or even converted. The church was born after Pentecost, on God's timing in his way. Once you start living God's way, you will see some people come to Jesus because they want what you have. Often, our church, HOC, one, often people will say to me, "You are our role model." I realized these words didn't make me proud. They were saying, without realizing it, "I want that missional lifestyle you have in your life." So go where God has already sent you. I'm just an ordinary person. God can send me to do his work. God already sent you as well. Yeah. So start letting the Holy Spirit guide you. Have a conversation with the Holy Spirit every day before you go to work or you go to school. Ask God, say, "Lord, help me be more like Jesus and less like myself, like me." And before you know it, some of your non-Christian friends might actually be led to Christ through you. Yeah. Do you know how many people die every day in the world without knowing Jesus as their Savior? Do you know? Yeah. You Google it, you might find out. Yeah. 150,000 per day. It's like, whoa. Why have to concern about this? But if today it was your relatives, your own brother, your sister, how do you think? How do you think? Although you are saved, you must not neglect those who have not yet believed in Jesus. I feel a little bit sad because one of my former co-workers, also a missionary working in China, he's from New York. 2 days ago, a sister mentioned to me, said, "Pray for Randy." Yesterday morning, 10:30, he went to be with the Lord. Thank God he's a Christian. I know where he's going. I know where he went. Yeah. But there are a lot of non-Christians die last year, this year. So brothers and sisters, pray that today's message, God speak to us, each one of us. I just want to mention that God already sent you. Don't say, oh, I'm not missionary. I didn't get a seminary training. I don't know how. God already sent you. Let our missional lifestyle be seen locally at workplace, at home, and in the community. These are the best ways to help people read the gospel of Jesus Christ through you. Shall we pray? Let's bow our head to pray. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for including us as your chosen people. Enable us in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of the Lord Jesus to be a faithful witness to you in our earthly walk. May you be glorified and exalted in our daily life and in all we say and we do, so that people may read the gospel through us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.